you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to promescent.com. That's promescent.com. There is not even a promo code. It don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. Really fun episode this week. She's from the new movie, Hell Hath No Fury. Her name is Nina Bergman. James Mattern steps in. Remember, we do the show every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then it comes out 5 days later to the rest of the world with commercials in SD quality only on YouTube and everywhere else. But if you want to support the show directly, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. You get a 7-day free trial, 20% off the network, access to every episode we've ever done in HD and commercial free and early, and those live streams are with the live chat in HD as well, all while supporting the show as well. Use the code SDR at gasdigitalnetwork.com, and maybe head over to podcastmerch.com/SDR and pick yourself up a t-shirt. But right now, here it is, the Nina Bergman episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock. This is a hit show, show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's far, you need to know. The SDR Show, let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back with me once again. It is James Mattern, my second most common co-host. How are you, buddy?
That makes me feel good inside.
Yeah, I like that you're holding the mic and you're sticking with it, even though tap the mic for a second just to make everyone happy. Oh, wow, it doesn't work. Perfect. Okay.
I can hear my headphones.
I like your scorpion shirt, by the way.
Well, thank you. I don't think you're the only one, but that's
I think
okay.
I am. I think I might be. And then we have Shannon is in the Gas Digital Studios. Shannon specifically set up the lights so she looks vibrant and alive and her colors are popping. Very good lighting, Shannon. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
And now, I'll describe her this way. She's an actress. She's a singer. She also likes to box. She's a vegan. She rides motorcycles. It is Nina Bergman. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
And you're starring in a new movie. We're going to get into that as well. I will tell you my thought. I watched the whole movie because I'm a diehard prepper for shows. But we were talking off air. You are vegan. Let's just start with that. Okay. How long have you been vegan?
I've been vegetarian, you know, since I was a kid, but I became vegan once I started doing undercover in dairy farms and, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know, like for me, and I've talked about this a lot, I have a health and wellness show. And so I could never intentionally harm an animal. Although who knows if you're all of a sudden wake up one day in a desert island and you have to for survival, maybe, I don't know. But up until this point in my life, I could never hunt. I could never do anything like that. But I do eat everything, and I know that makes me a horrible human being, but I helped build one of the largest raw vegan juice companies here in New York called Juice Press. I worked for that company, and now I do a podcast, and we're opening another store called Good Sugar, which is all raw and vegan, stuff like that as well. So I believe in it. I just think, I don't know if I'm for sure it's the best healthy thing. I get the more ethical version of it. I understand not wanting to harm animals, but I do think we are designed to be somewhat omnivorous, and that's just my take on it. But feel free to hate me now forever, Nina. Do you hate me now?
Hate is a strong word. No, I don't hate. I feel
that's always a yes.
That's
an anyone ever goes, you know, hate's a strong word. That's a fucking
That's a fucking yes. That's a hate times two, James.
Yes, blah, blah.
And I, by the way, like, I just was saying this off air. I had plans with a dinner date tonight. I'm a single man taking a woman out. And out of respect before I take any woman out, I text, are there any dietary restrictions I need to be aware of before I book a reservation? And this just happened a couple months ago where the girl said, no, nothing, don't worry about it. We go, and it's a omakase-style sushi place, which means that it's one piece at a time. There is no other menu. It was prepaid. And she goes, oh, I just, you know, I figured they could, I didn't want to be a bother. I said, well, now you're a bigger bother because I can't get my money back. And then tonight, I'm taking this girl. We made plans, and she just texted now, oh, by the way, I should probably tell you I'm vegan, which is weird.
Yeah, that's weird. It's, you know, when there's a lot of judgmental people.
I'm not judgmental at all. I work in that industry, so I endorse it. Shannon, how often do we eat vegan meals together?
We do, but I also understand somebody kind of wanting to hide it because there is a lot of judgment, and we don't like to, like, annoy other people's lives with it. So I get it.
Yeah, but Shannon, you're already annoying. So what's the difference?
I try not to add to it.
Wow.
And you're
single life now.
Say again.
I said, I understand. It all makes sense, Ralph, with your single life.
Oh, stop it. You're hurting my feelings, Nina. I did all this research, and now you're yelling at me. I'm going to cry.
Yo, Nina's got some undercover chill fucking shade. I like
it. She just said she went undercover into dairy farms. Like, what did that even mean? Like, you're doing it on your own? You're filming a documentary? What does that even mean?
No, you know, I started at a very young age just to, in Denmark where I grew up, they take you to the mink farms to show you what's really going on. And then when I came over here, I started doing, you know, horse races, dog fights, and, you know, I just always wanted to be the voice for the voiceless. You know what I mean? I've had that weight of the world. I felt like I had to do something, you know.
When you say that you're going in like undercover, you're filming things there? You're just documenting what's happening? Like, what do you actually mean by that? Or can you not say?
I work for different organizations, so they'll use me like with the horse races because I do modeling. Then they would have me be like Miss Sunshine. So I would go to the show in the swimsuit contest, and then I could sneak backstage and film.
By the way, in high school, that was also my nickname, Miss Sunshine. It's kind of weird.
Still is, baby. It still is.
Still is. All right. So now just to go back, you mentioned it. You were born in Denmark, big family, 7 kids, which is pretty crazy. Your father, known, and I didn't know much about him, but one of the top Russian actors of all time, correct? Yes.
Correct.
So I imagine he was an inspiration for you to be in the acting side of your, that part of your life.
Yeah, since I was a young girl, because he was like, you know, the prodigy.
Granddaughter, not father, your grandfather.
My grandfather. Yeah, my father is a professor at the Danish film school. So, you know, I was kind of shoved into it as a young kid. So I never really had a choice. I was just a performer. That's all I knew, you know.
Mm-hmm. You, which I thought was interesting, you trained as a ballerina. You come to America. And this is where your badassery starts to come out. To put yourself through NYU, not modeling, which would be the logical answer, let me become an amateur boxer.
Well, you know, I was very balletty, so I started doing boxing.
Is that a word you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word? You think that's a word?
Yeah. We use that all the time in Denmark.
Okay, well, maybe in Denmark. Doesn't fly here, sister.
All right. Yo, it is now, dog. If she says it. It's a rule, baby.
That's right. No, I started boxing, and then, you know, I heard Nine Inch Nails for the first time in my boxing gym, and I realized I have a lot of suppressed anger, you know, and already then I was doing undercover. And then, you know, modeling, trying to make $30,000 a semester to pay for NYU wasn't happening. You know, they don't pay you that
way. Did it happen in boxing?
Yeah, amateur fights. That would actually pay me a lot more than my $500 a day in modeling or whatever I could get, you know?
Wow. Can I ask what your record was by the time you retired?
You may, but there's a reason why I stopped, right?
Because I heard you damaged your right ear. Your teeth are fake, a few of them, because you got fucked up in your boxing, right?
Yeah, my nose is all messed up. You can see there's a I can't breathe. It's dead.
Wow.
Ow.
When was your last actual amateur fight? Do you remember that? The one that said, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, I do. I was very angry and I had a lot of passion, but I was never, you know, I wasn't it wasn't for me. You know, Lucia Riker was my mentor at Wildcard, and she was the one that pulled me aside. And she's like, Nina, you're not a fighter. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. You know, she's one of the world champions. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like, you're not a fighter. You're a performer who's angry and have a lot to say. But, you know, I mean, like someone like her, she started fighting kickboxing when she was a kid, you know? Mm-hmm. I started, I just needed money, and I just had a lot of anger and didn't know how to direct it. And then all of a sudden I'm doing these amateur fights because people pay a lot of money to watch pretty girls, mm-hmm. you know, beat each other up.
James?
I have a question. I'm confused because amateur usually means not professional, which means no money, and you're making good money amateur fighting. My head's confused. It's going to explode.
Maybe it was Foxy Boxing or no?
Sorry?
No, you don't know what that is. It's an American thing where they pay hot girls to fight. It was called Foxy Boxing.
Or were you like in a goddamn fight club, Nina? That's even doper.
No,
that'd be
no.
Next level, kid.
That's why she's not talking about it.
It's the first rule. It's the first and second rule, goddamn.
No, you know, it's. I mean, I can get into it if you really want to know.
My main curiosity is that last fight, that one where you said, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
It was more like, losing.
Oh,
it's tough for the soul.
That's
you know,
soul.
Like I did win a few, but it was, you know, it was, you know, I was trying to go to school and, you know, I couldn't do both. You know, NYU is really tough school if you do it mm-hmm. right. You know, there's a lot to do. And I didn't speak the language. Remember that too.
Right. You came here from Denmark. Right. That's pretty
so
wild.
I had to take my GED, my SAT. I was a high school dropout at 14. So, you know, it was really hard and try to do that while trying to make money doing that, you know.
I was just thinking about when you said because you grew up in Denmark, I know there's a bit, I know you're also very into the rock music world. We'll get into that a little later, but I know of big rock bands from various Scandinavian countries like Finland and Sweden. I don't, and even Iceland, but I don't know if anything's jumping out at me other than maybe Volbeat from Denmark. Who else is big from Denmark?
Yeah, Volbeat, the guitar player.
Rob, right? Caggiano.
On some of my stuff. Well, we have Aqua. I'm a Barbie Girl. That's like the big band we have.
Wow. If that's what you're starting with, that's scary.
Maybe that's the Beatles. Don't hate the player, dog.
And that's the first, that's your first one? Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah,
but it's weird because like Finland has so many great bands, and so does Sweden and even Iceland. I couldn't think of any ones from Denmark. That's interesting. I don't know why that is.
We have other talents.
Are you trying to convince us? It seems like I don't know. That's weird. Fair enough.
You just became the minister of entertainment.
I'm half Russian. So
I know. By the way, I was thinking. I watched some interviews with you, right? And one that made me laugh because I didn't realize who was talking. Some dude said, hey, if you want some boxing lessons, I'll give them to you. And you sounded excited. I'm like, who is this jackass? And it was Jerry Cooney. So I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. That's kind of fucking cool. Did you take him up on that or no?
Yeah, I was just in New York, but I was only there for a few days. I would. I mean, but I'm a little scared. Like when I go and train at Wildcard, sometimes I get the itch, you know, and it's like when you haven't done it for a while, you have to.
Yeah, but he's probably 70 right now, right? I mean, I have to imagine.
I think so, but I am sure he could still teach me.
Right, I'm sure. But I remember, James, you're a big fight fan. The fight I remember so well as a kid was when Jerry Cooney fought Larry Holmes, and he kept punching him in the balls. It was like a legendary, like I think it was three times in the same fight, Jerry Cooney punched Larry Holmes in the balls. Do you know that fight, James, or no?
I've watched the HBO documentary on it like 10 times. It's
oh, really?
The best ever.
Is it called Balls of Fury? Is that the name of it? I think I've seen it.
It should be, yes. I actually was a young boy, but I was rooting for Larry Holmes just to piss off all the everyone in my family.
Oh, I wasn't racist like your family, so I was voting for Larry Holmes at that point.
You voted for him? You went to the
voted for him, yes, and in the ballot and everything. All right, so now let's move into the new movie, which, by the way, it's interesting because this guy, the director, Jesse V. Johnson, you worked with before. The big thing that where I had when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I'd seen this before. It was that Wonder Woman, I guess, mini movie, whatever you want to call it, that kind of went viral. And it's interesting because both times you work with the same director, both center around Nazis.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I'm trying to think, you know, it's just kind of interesting that I don't know if it was his idea or yours, but somebody seems to be fascinated with Nazis, because that's both stories. And what's funny is, I mean, this is I don't know how much of it. I always wonder when they say based on a true story, right? Which obviously you can't know for sure everything. How much, because I watched the whole movie and I really enjoyed it. I don't want to give away too much about it, but we'll dance around a little bit. How much of it do you know is accurate? Because I know it was a comic, then they made like an indie film out of it, and now this, but things get, you know, classic telephone where things get lost in translation. How much research went into knowing how accurate her story is?
You know, it was pretty accurate, but what he didn't tell, you know, he didn't show when she went to Ravensbrück, and there was a lot of I think he just kept like the basics of her story, where, you know, I wish we would know more of her story, because it's pretty profound. But no, it's pretty accurate, that one.
It's pretty wild. So James and Shannon, you know, I watched the whole movie. The top down, like the idea is the women that would get involved with Nazi soldiers, SS soldiers, pretend to be in love with them to get information to give to the resistance. And then when the war ended, by the way, this is my favorite line I've ever heard. I never heard this term. These women that would then be now, they were ostracized and villainized for sleeping with the enemy. The term that I loved, crowdfucker, which is a great line. I never heard that before, but it's a great term. And they would get their head shaved. They would get Nazi symbols in them. And that's where the original walk of shame, like they made them live their embarrassment of, which not even embarrassment, really. They were trying to help the world. And then they were ridiculed. It's a pretty crazy story.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty brutal.
But very common, and it's not something that we talk about a lot. You know, there's the redheaded girl, too, from Holland, that one with the three girls on bicycles. You know, there's like all these little stories, hidden stories, but they, for some reason, they're not, you know, told. These women are the unsung heroes. So
it's pretty wild. And then one thing, they don't really address it. Again, don't want to give too much of this away, but the French guy who's in love with Marie, they don't really talk about how that came about at all either. But it's just you. It's implied, just like her time in prison is implied. It's enough to get the story going. But what made me laugh, because it's a powerful movie. There is some blood and gore and stuff like that. But again, in watching interviews, some guy who obviously did not watch the movie, he's like, yeah, because the trailer makes it look a little more lighthearted and fun, but it's a powerful movie. And the guy obviously did not see. He goes, man, this is a real fun movie. It was really fun and lighthearted. And it's obviously he did not watch the movie that he was interviewing you. And it really made me laugh. All right, before we go any further, a product that we've been talking about forever on the show, you know them simply as two words, Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom is home of the $60 kilo. And if you're over the age of 21, boy, do we got that deal for you. High quality curated Kratom. I'm going to remember the name now. It is called Trainwreck. That is Shannon's favorite blend that is only available directly at YoKratom.com. No more wondering how long that's been sitting around the gas station or in the bodega. Get high-quality Kratom direct to you at wholesale prices only at YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. They've been sponsoring the show, I think, going on 2 years. I could be wrong, but something like that. And I will tell you, as always, I see that glass of, or that tumbler full of Yo Kratom's Trainwreck almost all the time when I see Shanoonies prepping for the show. And remember, if you're over the age of 21, it's the home of the $60 kilo. That's really all you need to know. It's YoKratom.com. All right, let's get back into it. But the story I want to get into is that you weren't even going to be in this movie. Some big European actress was, and then COVID happened. You were able to step in. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
I read the script and I auditioned, and you know, it's very rare that you get these characters that complex. You know, I love these kind of complex women that scare me a little bit. And so when I read the script, I was like, you know, the fangs came out, and I was like, I must. I just felt her so deeply. And then they had, you know, they already did pre-sales. They already had this other actress attached. And then because of COVID, they had to do a table read. She wasn't there yet. And then I begged. I don't beg a lot, but I begged Jesse. I was like, let me be the apprentice. I'll just sit at the table and I'll just read her lines. And don't worry about it. I'll drive myself. You know, you don't have to pay me. It's just a favor. And I thought, you know, it's COVID anyway. What a great way, you know, to spend my time working on this phenomenal woman, you know, my character, just as an exercise. You know, I still do class. I still train all the time. So, I you know, I got the script, I think, at like 9 o'clock at night. I didn't sleep. And I came like full hair, makeup, dress. I've never done a French accent in my life. You know, I had my French song, and I went in there and nailed the table read, and all the other actors. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, that's her. And I was like, yes, it is.
So then did they offer the role to you there?
No, because, you know, they still had this woman, and, you know, she was a lot of the pre-sales, you know, she was the reason right. why they had their nice budget, you know, so it was really, really tricky. They had to convince all the producers, and the director knew. And the thing is with that part too, you know, what I think sometimes people forget that you're an actor. So if you know me, I probably won't be the first choice to play her, you know, because mm-hmm. she's a little more vulnerable and, you know, she's a victim, right? And I don't think I was the director's first choice at all. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of convincing. And then, you know, everyone at the table read, and he could see it. I mean, I worked a lot on it. So finally they you know, they were like, okay, she's the one, you know?
Right. But so they had to then call this actress who was already given the movie.
Yeah.
And tell her, guess what? You're not in the movie.
Yes.
Did you
she
have
was
any?
Crying. She was totally crying.
Wow.
My co-star Daniel Bernhardt said he felt sorry for her.
Did you send her a picture of yourself like this?
Yeah. What do you do in a situation like that? Do you send like chocolates or roses? do you throw shade? What do you go?
Was,
under-
yeah. Was there any interaction with her at all? Did anything happen?
No.
With her?
I mean, I felt for her because it's one of those parts where, you know, any actor, I think, you know, especially if your little method would die to play her. So I did feel for her, you know, and, you know, my take was very different on Marie than I think the director had first envisioned, because he had this other girl and how he saw her. So, you know, she came out very different. You know, Jesse was very happy, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he too believes it was meant to be, but it's one of those where, I I'm a compassionate person. I felt for her. I was like,
did you send her a tweet like "just sucks to be you," something like that, or?
No, that I needed you in my life.
It's just, imagine you go on winning. Let's say this wins something, right? How fucking pissed she's gonna be. It's got to be. I just can't imagine. Like, it's happened to me and anyone that's gone on auditions and shit. You lose shit all the time. Yeah. And you get numb to it after a while, but it just imagine knowing you got it and then you didn't get it. That's just a wild thing to go through. One thing I forgot to mention, by the way, James, is that the man, the SS guy, and this is not giving away, I think it's even in the trailer, the SS soldier that she's sleeping with to try and get secrets is also the same one who killed her parents. Pretty crazy. Oh, and it's a real story. That's the part that's nuts. And then also, not to be morbid, but watching the movie yesterday, excuse me, and there's so many guns in the movie, knowing what just happened on a set a week ago, you have to be fucking thanking God you had a better or more careful props person, because that has to go through your head now.
See, but the thing is, I got to give it to Jesse Johnson. A lot of those guns were actually Jesse Johnson's guns, and everything is triple checked. You know, and you have Luke, who is, you know, very thorough too. And all of my co-stars, like Daniel Bernhardt, is, you know, a big stunt guy who does mm-hmm. a lot of action. So I felt like I was bubble wrapped, and Jesse's always extremely thorough. I just don't understand how that could even. I don't understand how that could slip.
I mean, note to self, those are all Jesse's guns. Don't piss off Jesse Johnson if those are all his guns. Jesus Christ.
He loves those kind of, you know, he's a period piece buff, and he loves guns. So
also, by the way, because you speak obviously English, Danish, I read also Russian, Swedish, and Norwegian. Yeah. You had to learn some French for this movie. Yeah. Did you retain any of it?
No.
No, except for the way to say no. I know ça va. Ça va is all I know in French. Ça va? Means are you good?
Yeah, no. I mean, I learned all of that for, you know, for the part, and, you know, I was obsessive there for a while, but French, you know, I'm one of those. French is my favorite, but I'm never going to sound that sexy because I'm going to have an accent. So I'm like, mm-hmm.
James, do you speak any other languages, James?
So I know merci, And I know bonjour, because when you do the Just for Last festival in Montreal.
You sound so fluent the way you're saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like.
For a moment, I was in Paris. It was amazing.
Well, they don't want you. What people don't realize when they go to Montreal is like the common folk speak French. And then like if you're fluent, you speak English. We think the other way. So it's like a peace offering. It's like, yo, I'm not one of those ugly Americans. What up? Bonjour. And Marseille. And so they're like, yeah, this is a good one. This is
you
one
call
of the
them hors d'oeuvres also? Is that what you say instead of hors d'oeuvres?
Man, I don't even eat when I'm in Montreal. I just work, I drink, and I wink. Okay. That's all and I you, do, dog. Right.
Yeah. So that's a good way to go through life, James.
That's my new t-shirt I'm getting made. I'm just work, drink, and wink.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Now, let me ask you this, Nina, while he's winking. You're obviously from Denmark, but then you came here. Your father's Russian. That's one side of your family's Russian, whatever. You seem to me, because I've met many Danish people. I've been to Denmark a couple of times. And one of my best friends is married to a guy from Denmark. And you seem to have more, and you may think I'm crazy by saying this, but fair, more American or Russian sensibilities than you do Danish, just by the fact that you even say you're more in touch with your emotions. You're more like, motorcycle rider, boxer, like all those things. Danish people, Scandinavian culture in general, very reserved, very like peaceful. And that doesn't seem to be you. Am I wrong by saying that?
Well, why do you think I left at 14?
Good answer.
You know, I didn't fit in. I was one of those that was beaten up after school. You know, I just didn't fit in at all. I was the weird one, because we have a law in Denmark, in Scandinavia, called the Jante Law. Everyone is equal. So like my dad is a professor, you know, my stepmom, she works in kindergartens. And so they would take a lot of taxes out of my dad's money. So everyone is like getting kind of the same. And don't, you know, there's no, you don't have to pay for, you know, school, you know, healthcare, anything. Everyone is equal. Everyone is taking care of everyone. And it's a beautiful, like it's a we kind of a country. But if you're someone like me who thinks like that, but want to do something else outside of the box and want to like, you know, then it's
funny because, you know, like in Scandinavian countries, if you drive a really, really nice car, it's not a, people don't look at you and go, ooh, they look at you. What did that guy do to steal the fucking money away from everybody else? Like that's, he shouldn't have that car.
Exactly.
It's a different personality. At the Shannon is at our network, which we own. I own a network called Gas Digital. There's like 100 people that work there at this point, I guess, including the hosts and everything else. But I have this philosophy that everybody's equal, but I'm a little bit better than everyone else. That's how we've set it up there.
That's why American and Russians, my dad always say, American and Russians are the same. The only difference is the language. Like,
oh, that's funny. Wow. I do. It is true. Although I think Russia's about 20 years behind America in that when you look at their movies and TV shows, when you look at how the women dress and care so much about putting their sexuality first, and it all feels like where we were in the 80s and 90s. And I think it's just because they were later to getting these freedoms, even if they're not as fully freedoms there. But that's why they're 20 years behind us, is what it seems like to me.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
I always found Russians to be real blunt. Mostly the ladies. I've dated a few Russian girls, and they've you're the best, Nina. That what a response. I once had a girl. She was clowning me because I smelled like fresh clothes. I'm like, well, you know, I did laundry. She was like, that's not very manly. I'm like, excuse me.
That's great. I love it.
And then she grabbed my arms and said, "You need to work on these. I haven't seen her fucking since. I haven't seen her since."
In Russian girl's defense, I lived in Russia. I started at the Bolshoi
Theater. Right? I would have loved if you said, in that Russian girl's defense, your arms are kind of small. That would have been great.
This was years ago, kids. Look at this, baby. Bow, 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 bow.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Nina. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying the Russian girls in Russia are some of the most beautiful girls, humans I've ever met. But when you come to America, I think, you know, you sell a piece of yourself. You know, a lot of these Russian, like I never say I'm Russian when I meet, when there's Russians around, you know, because there's like a stigmatism. And most of the time it's true. I mean, the Russian girls that come here, a lot of them change.
Well, they use their sexuality. That's what it is. They don't care about their individuality or their ability other than using their sexuality to get the ends to get their means, which is a weird thing that happens in this country, I feel. Let me ask you this. Do you, when someone asks you what you are, do you immediately say American? Do you say, like, someone asks you where are you from? Like, what do you identify more as American, or do you say I'm Danish? What do you say?
I say I'm Danish, you know, because I am. I'm an Americanized Dane.
Okay. That's a very lengthy answer, but sure.
I just made it up.
Yo, podcast title. If you're ever going to do your own podcast, Americanized Dane, get out of here.
Hey, you have time for this title? Here we go. Americanized Dane.
It's just two words.
I know. It's a lot of syllables. So I want to get into some of the other movies, but you mentioned a little bit about the music. So I know that you were in a couple of different bands, right? Yeah. And I saw on your Instagram that you were teasing that you were in New York to record some tracks or something. So where are you at with that? Like, I'll tell you that I know that we talked about a Rob Caggiano who's done the show, and I've known him for years.
Yeah.
He's from Volbeat now, but he's been in a bunch of different bands. He played on a couple, I think, on one of your songs from Letters for the Fire, but I don't even think you're in that band anymore. What are you doing now musically, if anything?
Yeah, I'm doing a couple of things. I just couldn't tour full time and do the acting, you know, because you're on the road 3 to 6 months at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then COVID happens. And so I'm still doing music. I have a movie coming out called Seize the Night where I play a singer, a goth singer, and I did all the goth movie. You know, so that was right up my alley. Again, true story. And then I have another project called Freya. It's a comic book that's coming out now in the beginning of next year. It's a comic book, but all of the content is music that I wrote and sing. So it's a visual comic book.
So you watch it? It's a video or it's an actual?
Yeah, so it's chapters, it's everything. So you watch it, but you know, all of the speaking, all of the story is done by music.
Oh, that's pretty wild. I remember years ago, Nikki Sixx from the band Motley Crue, you may have heard of them. He had a separate band called 6 AM, and he put out a book. Say again?
I sang all the backgrounds for him on
6 AM?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ashby,
I know for years. That's so funny. I didn't know that. That's great. Cool stuff.
Yeah, when I first started, I was his little background singer, and then Nikki Sixx and him produced me, but I didn't like the music. It was too soft.
Look at you. You're such a badass. Fuck Nikki Sixx, right? Screw that talentless hack. I get it.
I had a bit of an attitude.
That's funny. But it's funny. They asked, I was watching, you know, she did back in the day, you were in a band, you toured with, like, as we said, the Scorpions, the band, I think it was called Dead Rose. Am I right?
Yeah, Dead Rose Beauty.
Dead Rose Beauty. Yeah. Yeah, and you played with the Scorpions, and you opened for Meatloaf, right? And someone asked her a story. Tell me a nice story, but tell me something that Meatloaf did for you one day, some good story. And she goes, well, one day he really went to bat for me. We wanted to go on stage in these sexy nurse outfits, and he made us go out. He was able to get us to do that. I'm like, that doesn't seem like it was a hard sell to get him to agree to let you wear a sexy nurse outfit. That doesn't seem like a real stretch.
Well, they wouldn't let us, you know, I mean, again, I was financing the whole thing when we first started out. I'm supporting three guys, right? Mm-hmm. And I had no money and no budget. So the cheapest thing I could find at Walmart was sexy nurse outfits. So I put my guys in sexy nurse.
Oh, so because it was the guys? That's what they didn't like? They didn't want the guys in nurse outfits?
Yeah, they wouldn't let us perform. You know, because we're doing like casinos, like 3,500 to 5,000 seaters. And these are people who sit down and watch you.
Where was this?
Where were we? I think we were in Florida.
It's so weird. And so somebody there didn't want to see dudes in nurses' outfits.
No, because they were sexy nurses. But I bought little underwear, little red underwear that would cover
their private parts. So
when people would sit down and they would look up.
Oh, so that's why they didn't want to see their dongs.
Yeah, but I covered the dong. I got like little
dong covers.
Sometimes you got to cover the dong. I mean, it has to be covered sometimes.
It's true. It's true.
And now I can talk about it. You know, I did a pre-interview for when I did that particular interview, and they're like, "Do you have any Tommy Lee story? You know, meatloaf stories." And I was like, "Yes." And I'm like, "Spruce," like just telling them all these stories, and they're like, "Yeah, Nina, we can't put any of those stories on air."
Really? Where the fuck, man? What kind of world are we living in? Tell us some bad meatloaf stories. Let's hear it.
I'm scared to death.
Oh,
like,
shit!
My cute. You know, nurse outfits.
What about Scorpion stories? Do you have any Klaus Mein stories? Are you taller than him? You're probably taller than him.
You know, I didn't know, you know, I was very new. I'm trying to censor here what I can say and what I can't say. I mean, They were actually great. It took a little while for them to warm up to us. They're Germans, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
So it took a little while, and they have like this crazy setup. So when we would open up for them, all of their crazy setups would interfere with our in-ears. So we couldn't
hear anything.
Yeah. And in the beginning, I was like, I can't use my in-ears, you know, is there any way? And they were like, no, you know, they were very hard Germans. But then after a while, they warmed up. And they were
why didn't they say nein? Because that's German for no.
That's it. Did you ever try to get them drunk to see if they'd admit that the American CIA wrote Wind of Change? This is an obsession with mine. And look, you go on the cover, Nina, get the fucking
answers. Get the answers. There's a whole
goddamn answer.
I mean... You know, I think at that time, even back then, I think I was too old to charm them or get any information out of them. Their girlfriends were pretty
younger than you at the time?
Yo, that's fire. Pow, 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 pow.
Wow.
Come on.
Shots fired.
Shannon, play the Jamaican air horns. Let's fucking
Jesse V. Johnson's guns used. Shots fired. There we go.
Yo, Nina throws that shade sometimes.
Hey, age doesn't matter. It's all about love.
All right,
yes, the soul has no end.
I've been trying to convince everyone about my 14-year-old girlfriend feels that way. Nobody agrees with me.
Jesus.
I got a Jesus out of James.
Yeah. I'm not even religious. You got a goddamn Jesus out of me. Mama Luca.
So now, is there an album coming out? Like, are you working on it to release at any time soon?
No, but the comic book will have an EP attached.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty. So you should listen to the music while you're going through the comic book. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So they will have a hard copy of it, like a coffee table book, and there will be music in the back. So
that's cool. I like that idea. I like mixed media. That's kind of cool. I dig it.
Yeah, I came up with it during COVID when I was losing my mind, and I went to my best friend who's a fashion photographer. And at the time, I was prepping for another project, so I was ripped and with a shaved head. And she was like, oh my God, we got to do something with that.
Speaking of which, was that real in the movie? I imagine it was. When they shaved your head, they really shaved your head, right?
Yeah.
That's a one-take thing. You can't do that again.
No.
That was pretty wild. And you're in like underwear the entire movie for the most part.
What they did back then.
Right. I'm not denying it, but I'm saying it must have been a little uncomfortable as well.
I mean, in the beginning, wardrobe would come with a robe in between every take, but you know how it is. It's kind of like a relationship. After a while, you just kind of stomp around naked.
Yeah, and then you're farting every 30 seconds, and they're like, what happened here?
Maybe so you now, are.
I have been throughout this entire interview. Some of the other upcoming movies I saw that I wanted to know a little bit more on, one is called Don't Try This at Home, which is a mockumentary. Can you elaborate on that a little bit or no?
I play a bitch.
Okay. Like, seems really out of character. Yoink.
Yeah, it's completely out of character. it's funny. It's hilarious. I normally don't do comedies, but again, I did a lot of things in COVID that I normally don't do.
So you're sure? Because I know I think this other movie was shot during COVID as well, right? During the beginning of COVID was.
My COVID, I was like, ching, ching.
COVID's been good to you, right? Let some more actors get sick and bail out of shows. You'll be working all until next year. That's pretty amazing.
No, I didn't want to fall into a hole. So I just said yes to everything and then, you know, created projects. And, you know, I was just you know, it gave us the space to actually do what we sometimes want to do instead of, you know, sometimes as an actor, you know, we do things for money or even in music.
Well, sometimes all of us do things for money. Let's be honest.
Yeah, so you're on that treadmill where you're just going from paycheck to paycheck and you don't actually get to do your passion projects.
Right. I have a good friend that is an actress and she's done a bunch of movies and TV shows and stuff. And this is finally, I mean, I've known her since we were kids. Like, I think she was 17 and I was 20 and now I'm 51 and she's whatever, 40 something, right? And this is the first time she's doing a movie that she really wants to do. And she's won Oscars and stuff. And she was in a movie called Crash that won an Oscar and shit. But it took her 30 years or 25 years, whatever it is, to get her own movie made, which is just, it's a crazy thing, that industry, especially when you're a woman. It's definitely a crazy, crazy industry.
Well, it's scary to say no, because you never know when the next job is going to show up. But I think it just came to a point where I was like, you know, the same with modeling. You know, I cut off all my blonde, I had blonde hair down to here, and I was doing, you know, I don't know, hundreds of commercials, over 500 print campaigns. And then finally I chopped it off and I got a black mohawk so I could stop, because I couldn't say no to the money. You know, I hated modeling, I hated doing all that, but I couldn't say no. I couldn't.
That's pretty wild. So then they wouldn't hire you anymore because you look like a badass rock and roll chick. So they didn't want
you. Exactly. They're like, ew, she's not. I mean, now she looks sophisticated. Like, now she looks like she knows what she wants. And
that's wild. And then the other one is NYX with fucking Ron Perlman, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Nick's. Yeah, that one. This one. Oh, I wish I could talk about that one. It's very exciting.
That's pretty wild. And you mentioned Seize the Night as well, which you just wrapped not that long. That's coming out soon, right? That one's coming out soon.
Yeah, that one. That one is really special. It's like a Requiem for a Dream meets Before Sunrise.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. You had me at hello. I'm in.
Yeah, it's very special. If you like goth, if you like that era, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It's a special one.
All right, before we go any further, man, we talk about sponsors that have been with the show for a while. These guys, I think, going on 4 years. It is Blue Chew. They are that deliverable of those chewables that are the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. But because it's in chewable form, it acts faster. And most importantly, it's at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction, or ED if you're hip in the world of erectile dysfunction. If you go to bluechew.com, use the code SDR, you're going to get a free first order. You pay just the $5 shipping. It's just that simple. If you don't like swallowing pills, it's the chewables from Blue Chew. They will license, they'll set you up with a licensed medical provider. They'll approve you for the prescription. And then those ingredients that, what is it called? The Slidafil, Tadalafil, Sildenafil, and Tadalafil. I think it's how you pronounce it. They're in the chewables. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, they fucking work. Harder, stronger erections, especially if you're like me and you're getting older, but you still want to act like you're impressive in the bedroom. It's the Blue Chew chewables. BlueChew.com. Use the code SDR. Get that free order with the $5 shipping today. We thank Blue Chew so much for sponsoring this podcast. All right, let's get back into it. Now, you mentioned earlier Nine Inch Nails was a big inspiration for you. These days, are there new rock bands that you're loving? Or are you stuck in your 90s era rock music?
I am not stuck in my 90s, but I have not. There's a couple of bands that I like, but they're not, you know, they're not rock. I think rock has, the definition has changed. It's a lot softer now.
Well, it depends where you look. There's some very heavy bands if you're looking.
Yeah, but I don't know. Nothing has ripped my heart out lately. I've toured with a lot of, you know, good bands, but you know, Trent changed my life.
He said, "Never meet him."
Articulate like words. He said things I didn't even know I was feeling.
Did you ever meet him?
No, he's the only one I don't want to meet.
You don't want to meet him, okay?
Don't meet your heroes, goddammit.
Well, yeah, don't meet your heroes. I met pretty much everyone, but I think I would. I don't know. I don't know.
I never interviewed. By the way, he's one that I never interviewed, James. I tried getting him over the years. That never happened.
I'm a massive fan. I think he's spectacular. Well, you know what's great about him? Forget like Nine Inch Nails. All his composing for movies is some of the dopest shit in the world. I would be scared to talk to him too. I'm just scared like he'll speak in a like a level of language that I can't comprehend.
Well, for me, thankfully, I have such a delusion of grandeur that I think it'll be very easy for me to talk to him. By the way, I'm curious if you know them. We're interviewing later today a fellow Scandinavian, the band The Rasmus. Do you know The Rasmus or no?
The Rasmus, yeah, I don't know. He was in Denmark. I was here or wherever I was. We haven't. And musically, you know, I was more alternative.
They're more poppy for sure. Yeah, what about him? I always loved him. Did you ever get into him?
I wanted to marry him.
Oh yeah, it's funny. I don't want to say because my other co-host shits on me when I use this term, but I would say we were friendly. Friends is a strong word, but I was the first person to interview him in America when the first Razorblade Suitcase came out. Razorblade Romance, whatever the fuck it was called, right? Razorblade Romance thing. When that first album that released in the States came out, they did a festival in New Jersey, and I was his literal first interview, and then interviewed him for every album after that for years. So we got to a point like they actually invited me to the last show they ever did in New York, and I didn't even know what was happening. So I would call that friendly. Jay would shit on me. James, would you be against that?
Yo, I would go so far to say that you two are fucking homies.
Homies, dog. I wouldn't say that, but okay, fair enough.
I'm saying it. I'm in the suburbs of PA right now. I'm allowed to throw it.
Way to bring your street cred to the table, James.
Yeah, I mean, they know I live in Manhattan, so I come here and tell them what's going down.
All right, fair enough.
Already out here.
All right, we got to hit the first, Shannon, because we're running out of time.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest since the dawn of this show, 6 years ago, their first experience with all three, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We start with rock and roll. We ask you the first concert you went to, and I hope it's not some dumb Danish band we never heard of, but hopefully it's something big that we might know.
My first concert I ever went to was I saw Michael Hutchins.
Oh, wow.
Strong.
That's great. That's a good one. How old were you?
Tiny, but enough to know that that was sexy and it was
cool. He was a cool motherfucker. That's great.
I was like a kid and I was changed.
I'm feeling something in my downstairs parts. That's all you knew. All right, now what about the first drug you ever did? Ideally after weed, unless you've never, you know, unless weed wasn't your first
drug. I grew up in Denmark, Christiania, you know, where, and I lost so many friends to drugs. I've smoked pot twice in my life and eaten a pot blueberry.
What the hell's a pot blueberry?
It was like 2 years ago. It was a chocolate.
Oh, like a chocolate blueberry.
And me and my girlfriend did it. And then we just lied around on the floor and laughed. She's never done anything, not even alcohol. We just lied around on the floor and laughed for 2 hours. And then she had to pee. And then she almost peed in her pants. And we were editing Nick's.
Oh, wow.
We want a different perspective.
Okay.
And she was like, let's do some drugs.
So now, like 30 minutes into the movie, when things take a hard right, we know why. Fair enough. And now the first time you had sex.
Yeah, you know, we start young in Denmark.
Oh, really? How young? You don't have to tell us if you don't want to. But how old?
And I was so nervous. My best girlfriend was there with me.
Whoa. Good for the guy. Jesus. Well,
like holding your hand, you can get through this, hon.
Holding your hair back in case she pukes.
Feeding you blueberries full of goddamn weed.
Well, I mean, you also, by the way, you kind of gave it away. You said you moved to the States when you were 14. So that means the oldest you could have been was 14.
Yes, I was younger than 14. Because at 12, I look like this. I haven't grown. And in our, you know, us Scandinavians' defense,
we're all whores.
When I was 7, I was independent. I could go and do whatever you wanted. When you were 14, it's not like America. Sorry. It's different than America. Like, you know, kids stay kids even if you're 18. And in Scandinavia, you're like, you learn to think on yourself. You know, you can take your bicycle. You're free. It's just very different.
Right. Well, also, they say all the time when they rank the happiest places on earth, Scandinavian cultures are always in the top 5. But there is also, playing devil's advocate, something to being a relatively homogenous society. You know, there's not a lot of competing religions or competing dialects even, or different ways of thinking. So when everybody's 3 steps back related to each other, it's a different energy than there would be in a melting pot like America.
No, yeah, I totally agree. And remember, in Denmark, we're all the same. you know, which is why I came here, right? So you're just very free and you're very safe and you become your own person at a very young age.
Right. Oh, that's cool. I like it. I've been to every Scandinavian country but Greenland, and I still really want to go see Greenland just to say that I've seen them all. Although I haven't seen the Faroe Islands, but technically the Faroe Islands are part of Denmark. It depends on who you ask.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But yes, I always enjoyed every single one of those places. I love the culture very much. James, you look like you're about to yell at me.
No, not at all. I'm just, I've never been to Europe. And, you know, one day, I mean, I like all the talk, what I like about the Scandinavian countries, and Nina, you seem to be part of this. They always say these countries that are doing well also still listen to metal, like as a mainstream music. So that gives me hope.
The first time I went to Stockholm, I could not believe how many fucking rock clubs there were. It was like, oh, this is home. This is where I need to be. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, Norwegian metal is where it's at. Because it's dark in the winter.
When I was in Finland, I think my picture of me and Villa could get me in anywhere because he was such royalty. If I showed a picture of the two, I was like, all right, step right in. That's fine. Goodbye us.
Yeah, it's still, you know, alive and well rock music over there.
Yeah, thank God.
I'm booking a flight right now, dog. It's time.
Yeah, you'll be amazed, dude. There's so, and also good new rock. There's so much new rock coming out of Scandinavian countries. It's really good rock. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's why I know Nina doesn't listen to anything past 1997, but there's a lot of good.
No, not true. You know, this morning I was rocking out to a band called Bob Moses.
Oh, I love Bob Moses, but they're not rock, but I fucking love
rock,
Bob
that's
Moses.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Their song Grace is one of my favorite songs. If you don't know that song, look up that song. It's such a good song.
Yeah, like, you know, I do listen to, but maybe I'm not so angry anymore.
No, well, maybe you got it all out when they beat the shit out of you when you were a kid. Who knows?
Oh, my God.
All right, let's do this. The new movie that is out this week, November 5th, I think is the release date, Hell Hath No Fury, where you play Marie, the lead in the movie. I really enjoyed it. I just, so you know, in the interest of full disclosure, I started watching it with the idea that I'll watch the first 15, 20 minutes so I know what I'm talking about, and I ended up watching the whole movie. So it is a very enjoyable movie, I'd say that. And then obviously saying Seize the Night, it's coming out soon. Nyx, which you can't talk about yet, and then your... comic book / music, which I forgot the name of it. I apologize.
Freya. The Nordic god Freya.
Oh, now I don't feel so bad because I can't even pronounce that. So that's not so bad. I'm at Nina Bergman on Instagram. And anything else you want to plug before we wrap this up?
No, Instagram and my website. Everything is there.
Okay, great. James, your plugs?
Yo, man, follow me on Instagram, TheJamesMattern. Check that out. My new podcast with Shuli is coming out. It's called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. We got a bunch that we recorded with comics talking about their early bombs and their shitty material. And yo, man, November 12th, my new album drops. It is called The Check Spot. It is a whole album of me dealing with an audience while they pay their bills and they ask me questions and they're drunk. That's the whole record. Album release party, November 11th, New York Comedy Club, 4th Street, part of the New York Comedy Festival. Fuck yeah, baby. Let's change the world, baby. And then I'm going to move to Scandinavia and just do whatever, dog.
Yeah, good luck in the comedy scene in Scandinavia. Now, Shannon, your
I'll
turn.
I'll warm up for the bands, bro. I'll just scream. They'll be like, look at this wild American who doesn't drive a Lexus.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people from all walks of life, musicians, comedians, reality TV stars, porn stars, come on and tell their stories about their personal experiences with a bad date, a street fight they've been in, and any experience with the paranormal.
All right, so now we do this at the end of every episode. We try and guess. Do not give us any clues, Nina.
Yeah. I've covered you up, Nina. I don't want to see any poker signs.
The question is if she believes in ghosts or not. I am going down with an emphatic yes, but I don't know. Don't give any clues.
No, I'm not. I'm just
James, your thoughts, James?
Okay, so here's it. Oh, now she's on the main screen. I'm covering the whole thing. Okay, so this is what I got to cover both of them. All right, this mic is a Fugazi anyway. Okay, so here we go. I would think based on her soul and everything I have gotten from these 40 minutes is that it would be not only yes in cap letters, but she's got that Russian gene in her and she's got that Scandinavian gene that's logic. And I think that there could be a fight with that. I'm going to go no just to stir the fucking pot.
Okay, Shannon, you're throwing the bid, Shannon?
So the Scandinavian part really makes me want to say no, but I feel like it's yes.
All right, now, Nina, let us know. Is it yes or no?
I believe in spirits, but not ghosts.
I mean, that's a yes. I take that as a yes.
It's a 50-50, dog.
It's a yes. Come on.
I mean, I don't even believe in a woo.
No, but that's everyone has their own idea of what that means.
Spirits.
That spirits is ghosts. What else? They're synonymous.
Ralph, I'm from Las Vegas. I think if anyone, this would be called a push. Everyone would get their money back.
I disagree, but I will respectfully disagree with you, and we'll move on. we add a song every week to the playlist. We could pick one of your old songs if you want. You did a Beatles cover years ago that you did that was kind of cool, I think. And when you're in your first band, or am I wrong?
A Beatles. Yeah, I did. What did I do? He likes goth. I did with Letters from the Fire. I did a cool song of The Cure, love song.
All right, let's do that. Letters from the Fire. We'll add the love song to the playlist, thestrshow.com/playlist. For my plugs, you can follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness that comes out every Monday with the founder of Juice Press is called The Good Sugar Podcast. Comes out every single Monday. Honestly, Nina, a pleasure to have you on. It was fun.
You guys are so fun. I mean, excellent. Jesus.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week on the SDR Show. Peace.